How many of you want to start seeing the power of God moving in your life even more? Well, if we want to start seeing the power moving more, being more manifest, we use that word a lot, manifest, real, becoming reality, being more manifest in our lives, we're going to have to start paying attention to the words that we use, to what we say. Amen. Is that silence of fear? How many of you know words have power?
That's right.
And I don't think we completely realize how much, but we often speak words as if they're meaningless. We quite often do this in our life. And because of that, most believers at one time or another have been hung by the tongue. Matthew 12:36 says this, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Now, that's not one of those light little verses, is it? "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Every idle word, what does that mean? That means, well, the unproductive words. Non-productive words, just throwing them out there. These are words that we speak, but we don't really believe. You know, you might say, for example, "I am dying to see my grandchildren." Well, you really don't mean that you're dying, but you say it anyway to kind of emphasize the importance of the relationship. Every time you say things that you don't really mean, it begins to numb something in the heart. It begins to desensitize you to the words that you use. Unconsciously, each idle word is making it just a little bit harder to believe what you say will actually come to pass when you mean it and it really counts. So it's minimizing the power of words that you really need when you're just throwing out non-productive words. We're going to look at a lot of scripture, and yet it's probably one of my shorter messages. Jesus certainly did understand the power of words, and he used them to change the nature of things around him. Words change nature.
Amen.
There's a story, an amazing story in Mark 11. In response, Jesus said to it, it being the fig tree. This was a fig tree. And in response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Now in the morning, it says, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says."
Hallelujah.
That's Mark 11:14-23. Now, in this situation, Jesus spoke to a fig tree with a powerful result. I can almost hear the inflections in Peter's voice when he says, "The fig tree which you cursed has withered away." I'm sure he was surprised and he was in disbelief, if you know Peter, at that point in his career. And when Jesus replied to Peter, it probably wasn't in a sweet, quiet voice. It was probably something like, "Peter, what's wrong with you?" Jesus was amazed at his disbelief. And it wasn't the first time. He was saying, "It should not shock you, Peter, to see that the tree withered. Have faith in God." So when he's questioned about it, he starts his answer by saying, "Have faith in God." And then he turns left. It's like, and then he makes it clear that we're also speaking to things, mountains. Where am I going? Oh, I see.
In another translation, it says, "Have the God kind of faith."
Well, now you're just getting ahead of me.
Sorry.
You're excited, I know.
This is FCF verses right here.
Hold on, let me.
Built on Mark 11.
Living in God.
Yep. Have the God kind of faith.
Yeah, no, Ken's absolutely right here. Is this still helping you to have verses where you don't have to race me to the to read it in the Bible?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay, good.
Yes.
Just checking. So the phrase here, "have faith in God," could just as easily be translated, "have God's faith," or "have the God kind of faith." If that helps you to get the meaning.
Yes.
Because that's what he's saying. Have God's faith. It actually is in translations that way. And this translation, "have God's faith," would seem to be to more clearly tie in the whole idea of his cursing of the tree to speaking to objects. What we can do to speak to objects in faith. He says, "Whoever says to this mountain." Whoever says to this mountain. When I was 5 years old, I tried this. I remember being in my backyard, 5 years old, in Hayfork. And I'm like, "Be removed." I'm looking at the mountains all around me. And I'm just a little kid because I had just heard this lesson. "Go over there." Talking to the mountains. I believed. It's a good thing I didn't know what I was doing, or Hayfork would look a whole lot different today. Yeah, yeah. There'd be some big ditches. Oh, thank God. So he's explaining that this idea is not limited to fig trees. He uses a mountain as an example, but I believe it could apply to anything. He was making the point that if we say with our mouths, hear me now, if we say with our mouths and believe it in our heart, we can have what we say.
Oh, hallelujah.
Ooh, that's heavy.
It's right there, verse 23.
He also made it very clear who qualified to use words this way. He said, "Whosoever shall say," or "whoever shall say." Are you a whoever?
Amen.
Are you a whosoever?
I'm a whoever.
Because if you are a whosoever and you're breathing, then you're qualified.
Amen.
And your words can affect the natural as well as the spiritual world. This is a good tool for you. I hope you get it. Jesus used the word "say," or King James, "saith," three times in verse 23 alone. Say. Words. The words that have power are words that are filled with faith. The other ones don't have power. And it's important to understand that the faith that you're filled with, get this, is not your human faith. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, if you have the New International Version, I'm aware that it says faith in the Son of God. But when you really study this out, it becomes real clear that it's talking about the very faith of God. So he's saying the very faith of God, it's the same faith he placed in you when you were born again. When you got saved, that's the faith that you got. In fact, you can't even be born again by your own faith. Did you know that? Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by the word. Hello. Faith comes by the word. And 1 Peter 1:23 says you're born again by the word of God, not your faith. If you can't even believe for salvation with our human faith, how could we possibly use it for other things like healing or prosperity? It's really important that you understand this. If you don't know this, you'll always be looking to others to pray for you. I said you'll always be looking to others to pray for you. And you'll always think that they have more faith than you do. And because of that, God will act on your behalf when they pray. That's wrong. See, that's wrong. And it's the reason that many Christians are looking to man instead of God for their answers. I'll have somebody with greater faith than me pray. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." A measure of faith. Now, I kind of think of it like a ladle, you know, or a soup dipper to dish up soup. If you use the same ladle each time you dip, and God did, he used the same measure. Every person will get the same amount of soup.
Same portion.
Each one gets that measure of soup. You have the measure of faith. Everybody say, I have the measure.
I have the measure.
And you do, of faith. Okay, so no excuses.
Increase it. Back up a dump truck full of it. More word.
No born-again believer was given more faith than you.
That's right. Good word.
It's just that some do a better job of using what they've been given. Are you with me? Let's take a look at Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Good. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, this scripture isn't symbolic. Can you all see this? I know it's difficult. Oh, good, good. I'm glad we had the screen. It's not a symbolic scripture here. God actually created everything with words.
Amen.
Good point. Yep. He created everything with words. He spoke creation into existence, and the substance of his faith manifested into everything that we see now. Each word of God has unlimited power. Each word is like a little capsule filled with faith, waiting for us believers to just kind of release it in our hearts and then speak it with our mouths. Everything we see was created by words. And it's the very word of God that holds the universe together. Upholding all things by the word of his power. You see that?
Yes.
Therefore, everything we see will respond to faith words.
Wow. Heavy.
They have to respond because words are the parent force that birthed everything. Proverbs 23:7. It says that as you think in your heart, so are you. We've covered that one before. And Luke 6:45 says that what you speak comes from the abundance of your heart. Right. So in other words, the way that you think controls the way that you talk. Hello?
It should.
Yes.
Well, it does. Whether you think good thoughts or bad thoughts, it comes out the mouth.
Abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Mm-hmm. It comes out, what I always tell the kids.
There, yeah. There it is.
More love in there.
In other words, the way that you think controls the way you talk. And if you understand that words have power, then you're going to understand why you can get hung by the tongue. The only reason every one of us isn't dead from so many idle words we've spoken is because we haven't believed every word with our hearts.
God's mercy.
Thank God. Thank God that our words have to be mixed with faith and that we have to believe them from the heart. Or else we'd be in trouble. But this should help us see a really powerful truth. I hope it does. As we believe... If we believe we're going to be sick, that that's just a part of our life and we've accepted it, or if we believe that we will always be poor and struggle, and then we confess that with our mouth, guess what? That's what you'll receive. Now, on the other hand, what happens when we take the faith-filled words of God and plant them in our hearts where they can take root and grow? Yeah, that's right. Proverbs 18:21 reads, "The tongue has the power of life and what?
Death.
And death. And those who love it will eat its fruit," or will have the result. It not only says life, but it does say death as well. And it's sad to say, but most of the words being communicated around today are pretty negative. Negative words, I mean... I'm afraid to even turn on the news anymore.
No, seriously, we don't have a TV at home. And you go and you look at this slandering from all sides. This
yeah.
is wrong.
Yeah.
We need to regain our country, or, you know.
The language they use on TV.
The words. Exactly, the words. Who's cursing and who's blessing?
Mm-hmm. We need to recognize the difference.
And they both shouldn't come out of the same orifice.
Jonathan, I had mm-hmm. four little kids over yesterday. I was watching. Mm-hmm. And the thought came to me as I was outside watching them that we as adults tend to say, okay, you know, put ourselves last. And kids never put themselves last. It's always me first. And I was thinking that's, you know, the way God is with us. You know, instead of saying, well, let them have what they want and then I'll take what's left over.
Right.
It was me. Yeah, but they're so full of them and vigor and energy, they never think about the one next to them. It's me first. I'm like, can I have first cookie? Can I? I'm getting on the swing first.
Right.
Everything's
always.
First. And I thought, you know, that's the way God really wants us to be. You know, He wants us to want the most, not to.
It's true.
Since you're saying it, Mary, I discovered something in my own. Joy of the Lord overwhelmingly in my life because I can't stop saying me first, Lord. I can't stop showing, you know, that me first. And that's really stuck out in my mind when I'm trying to get control of that because I see every time I turn around, I want you, Lord, but, oh, but me first. Mm-hmm. And I see there's a connection there between, mm-hmm. you know, His free joy.
God has revealed this to you. And I bless you with that revelation. I bless you with joy. In Jesus' name, God is redoing your thought life.
Amen.
Rearranging, and we can thank Him for that.
Amen. Fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's in you. It's in you there. It's already planted.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Then we have some power here. We're not... at the mercy of circumstances.
Amen.
We were never meant to be under the circumstances. Right. And getting involved in that negativity, I'll warn you right now, you need to be careful. If you think you're informing yourself, but you're listening to all that negativity on the television, let me tell you something. The Lord's shown me that a lot of that is coming from a spirit of bitterness. And you don't want to get involved in that. And I leave it to you what to do about it. So, those negative words don't bring about the abundant life. Agreed?
Amen.
There's no way they can. But they just cause more problems. Because words have power.
Amen.
So, if you get it in your heart, you'll learn that words can change your life now and they can change your future. Now, I'm going to give you a key here, a key way to use your words to make your prayer life more effective, more powerful. I'm going to look at a lot of scripture here. Let's start with Mark 4.
You were there.
I was there.
Yeah.
Thank you. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." He said to the sea. "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Mark 4:39 and 40. So Jesus regularly went around speaking to things. Say, he spoke to things.
He spoke to things.
He did. Get that in your knower. You've really turned a corner when you start doing the same thing in your life. You've really turned a corner when we increasingly speak to things and decreasingly ask God for stuff. This transition in our prayer life is not about ordering God what to do. Please let me make that clear. But it is about us understanding the authority that has been delegated to us. This is what we've got to get. The story of Jesus calming the storm. I love this story. It's one of my favorites in Mark 4. If you read the entire account, you're going to find that the disciples blamed a sleeping Jesus for the storm in the first place. And after they woke Jesus up, they prayed to Jesus, asking him for stuff. "Help him. Help us. Help us, Lord. Don't you care that we're perishing?" The master gets up, speaks to the storm, and it ceases. He didn't pull out any magic tricks. All he did was speak. And this would seem to be a really great example of answered prayer, right? But Jesus ruins the whole party. And he implies that they didn't need to get him involved.
Yeah.
And then he asked, "How is it that you have no faith?" How is it that you have no faith? He's implying that the disciples weren't getting what he had been saying all along. He had been teaching them this. They'd been hanging out with him. They should have this down by now. So he's giving them a little rebuke. They've seen so many miracles being with him. And yet here they are. He says, "You have no faith." It's one thing to have faith that God can do something. It's another thing entirely to believe that we can do the same thing in his name. Isn't that true? Yeah. It's not so much faith in God's ability, but in our ability in Christ. It's faith in our ability in him.
That's right. God kind of faith.
That's what we need to increase. Okay, so I can just hear the thoughts, you know, of the disciples at that point. Everything calms down, and they're like, "Say what? Jesus, let me help you understand. We had faith. We had faith that you would take care of things." Most people would call that faith. Our faith is what caused us to cry out to you, to wake you up, to help us. What do you mean we have no faith, Jesus? And when Jesus asked, how is it that you have no faith? He was just implying that they had not learned their lessons. So my friends, I'm sharing a lesson with you. And I hope you get it. It's one thing, well, we've covered that. Let me go to Mark 11. Just like we read before in Mark 11 about Jesus cursing the fig tree, let me illustrate what that's like. Imagine a police officer who's constantly asking his sergeant to do what the officer was commissioned to do. Like he might say, hi, Sarge, this is Steve again, and I have a person down here on 5th and Main who needs to be arrested. Could you please come down and arrest them? And the sergeant might say something like, oh, you of little faith. Yeah, that's what he'd say. Oh, you of little faith, don't you know who you are? But it's the same idea. You have a badge. You have been commissioned an officer of the law to do this yourself. You don't need me to come down there again. Please believe in who you are. That's what he's saying. And many of us are just like that police officer, you know. But we got to break out of this wrong thinking by learning to speak to that which is around us. And by doing this, we experience a higher level of prayer, a higher level of the results of prayer, and a higher level of living.
Glory to God.
Somebody once said, you're crazy if you don't talk to yourself. I would say you're crazy if you don't talk to yourself and to things around you. Talking to things. Okay, here's the lightning round. We're going to go through several scriptures, and I just want you to see the word at work in all these scriptures. Talking to things the Bible way. Here's some examples. Jesus said to the leper, be cleansed. Just notice how many times it's just a matter of speaking. The centurion said, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. And he cast out the spirits with a what?
Word
and healed all who were sick. He said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out and it was restored as whole as the other. See, he said, and Jesus, what happened?
Back up one.
Jesus
rebuked the demon.
Right. Thank you. It's a lot of scriptures to get on a screen, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Okay, cast out the demon with the word. Jesus rebuked. Where's rebuke? There it is. Okay. Matthew 17, 18. Jesus rebuked the demon. What is that? What's a rebuke?
Stop, halt, quit.
Stop. Get out.
Discontinue.
Correction.
Get out.
Go away. Yes. Change your ways.
Yep.
Reverse.
Take a hike.
Well, it says he rebuked the wind, right? He told him, peace, be still.
Yeah.
It is. It's a word.
Yep.
It's spoken. I am willing. There it is. I am willing. Be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed.
Hallelujah.
Next in Mark 4:39, then he arose and, there it is, rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. When you think of it as a rebuke, you know, you can raise your voice. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumai, which is translated, little girl, I what? Say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephatha, or whatever. That is, be opened. That's what he said. Be opened. Immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed and he spoke plainly. Mark 9:25, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. In response, Jesus said to the fig tree, there it is again, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Mark 11:23 again, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, say this with me, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Yeah. So he stood over her. And there it is again, rebuked the fever, and it left her. He didn't do a big rigmarole thing. He didn't dance around and ask the Father to do anything. He simply spoke to the fever, told it it's wrong to be on God's property. Get off! Amen. And it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. Boy, that's a servant. And finally, then he came and touched the open coffin and said, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. Luke 7:14.
Raise the dead. Ruin the funeral.
With a word. Then he arose and rebuked the wind. Once again, this one from Luke. And rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. So this week, if you really want to step it up, you're tired of the footprints of Satan in people around you and in your own lives, start speaking to things. Now, don't go up to people and start, you know, scaring them. Because that could get carried away. I could just see that now. But begin to speak to the things that are plaguing those people. And have faith when you do it. And you'll see things starting this week begin to shift and to change. Believe in God's faith within you. Believe in your authority in His name. Amen. All right, I wonder if you'd stand with me. I hope you can read this. One more thing that words are good for, and that's making decrees that line up with the Word of God. Right. Making decrees over yourself, even. Words have power. Let's say it together. I am a child of the living God. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am a new creation in Jesus. Old things have passed away. And all things have become new. I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I am not under guilt. Whoops. I'm sorry. I was all by myself. I am not under guilt or condemnation. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I do not listen to Satan's accusations, for he is a liar, the father of lies. Sin does not have dominion over me. I am an overcomer because of the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. I bring every thought captive into obedience to the truth. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I know the truth, and the truth sets me free. Because Christ has set me free, I am free indeed. I have been delivered out of the domain of darkness and am now abiding in the kingdom of God. I am not intimidated by the enemy's lies. He is defeated. For this purpose, Christ came into the world to destroy the works of the evil one. I submit to God and resist the devil. The enemy flees from me in terror because the Lord lives mightily in me. I give the devil no opportunity. Give the Lord praise.